In this segment, we turn to health. According to data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, bacteria that have become resistant to antibiotics cause around 2 million infections and 23,000 deaths each year in the U.S. alone. Researchers across the globe are working to combat this growing problem, and a team at UC Merced recently published a study contributing some much-needed data to the field. FM89's Kerry Klein is speaking with Miriam Barlow, an evolutionary biologist at UC Merced and the senior author on the study.
Dr. Miriam Barlow, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me on the show.
So you study antibiotic resistance in bacteria. Can you lay down briefly what are antibiotic-resistant bacteria and why is this an important area of research today in the United States?
So antibiotic-resistant bacteria are bacteria that just are not killed any longer by antibiotics. And this is important today in the U.S. because so many infections are caused by bacteria, and we have developed a strong reliance on antibiotics as a way of treating these infections, and we're becoming unable to treat infections because of antibiotic-resistant bacteria.
And how do bacteria actually become resistant to antibiotics?
So bacteria can become resistant to antibiotics either through mutations that maybe change a target, a drug target inside of the cell. So like the ribosome is responsible for making proteins that are the machines that are running the cell. And a lot of drugs are targeted towards the ribosome, and they just stop protein from being synthesized in the cell. And so if you can mutate the ribosome so that it can still synthesize proteins but not bind to antibiotics any longer, then it has become resistant to those antibiotics.
And some bacteria can become resistant to maybe one or two antibiotics, and some of them actually become resistant to many of them, which can make them more dangerous and more difficult to treat.
Yeah, so at this point, gonorrhea, there are strains of gonorrhea that are resistant to all the antibiotics that are available, and the same is true for tuberculosis. There are others that are resistant to many, but maybe not everything yet.
So how did you get interested in this line of research to begin with?
Once upon a time, I wanted to go to medical school, and then I decided I didn't want to do that, and I wanted to be an evolutionary biologist instead, but I still had an interest in medicine and human health. And then I just kind of randomly found an advisor who was doing experimental evolution but wanted to move in a direction of antibiotic resistance, and so we did, and then I was just kind of hooked on it since then.
And so in your career, you've really studied a lot of facets of this issue, from safe antibiotic treatment strategies to the genetics of antibiotic resistance to processes that may actually reverse antibiotic resistance.
Yeah, this is true.
And your latest paper, though, which you published just a few weeks ago, it sounds a bit wonkier. It deals specifically with a software and data platform. But you also told me you think it might be your coolest paper you've published yet. What makes it so neat?
Well, so we've been involved in developing a new assay for measuring fitness. So fitness has typically been really difficult to measure in the lab. It's really labor-intensive, the methods that have been historically used.
That's the fitness of bacteria themselves, right?
Yes, that's the fitness of bacteria. It is how well they survive and how well they reproduce. And so we have been using a different assay that's a lot higher throughput, a lot easier to run, and that enables us to measure the fitness of hundreds of bacteria, hundreds of different strains of bacteria at one time instead of just maybe 8 or 10. This has been done historically. And so we've been doing this, and it's a really sensitive method, and there's variance in the measurements of the samples. So we've come up with a statistical package and a program that can tell us how important that variance is. And so it's taking this method that's a really powerful method, but then giving us greater statistical power to use it and to interpret biology based on our findings.
And along with this, you know, this methodology, you also published an enormous actual, you know, source of data as well, enormous store of data.
Mm-hmm. So fitness data, because they have traditionally been so hard to generate, are highly valued by the evolutionary biology community, and especially people who study population genetics and adaptive landscapes, which is a way of comparing fitness of different strains and predicting how they're going to evolve. So in generating these statistics, we had to measure about 52,000 independent assays, and people are interested in just the raw data of these reads so that they can generate their own studies from these data. And so we've released this enormous data set, and we're happy for people to use it in any way they see fit.
And then a year ago, you published another study about where antibiotic resistance actually evolves. And that involves some participation of Mercy Medical Center, a hospital in Merced. Tell me about what you found there.
So Mercy has been a great collaborator to work with, and they have been providing us with resistant strains from their hospital and the accompanying antibiograms that go with them. So they provided all of their testing for resistance that has occurred in the hospital. And so we just, in looking at the testing that Mercy Medical Center has done for resistance in these isolates, we were able to ask the question, is antibiotic resistance evolving in the hospital? And the idea of this is that if antibiotic resistance is evolving in a hospital type setting, there should be non-random patterns of resistance that are occurring there. Strains should be related to each other, and resistance should be non-random. And so we looked, and we found that for 12 of 15 antibiotics, it seemed like the patterns were totally random. And then there were three where there was some non-randomness going on in the hospital, but it actually seems like resistance was improving in two of the three cases in the hospital, which speaks very well of Mercy Medical Center. So for most antibiotic resistance, it's probably coming into the hospital from outside. And so then that leads to the question of where is antibiotic resistance actually evolving?
Right. And what are, and I understand this is ongoing research, so you don't actually have conclusions yet. What are some options or some hypotheses that you're studying related to that?
So two of the options that are available is that resistance is primarily influenced by outpatient treatment. So when you go to the family doctor and they prescribe an antibiotic, that is one source of antibiotics outside of hospitals. Another one that's actually a much larger one is selection in agriculture. So, and I'm doing this work in collaboration with Mark Sistrom. He's a bioinformaticist. But in agriculture, so many antibiotics are given to animals just in feed to keep them healthy, to promote their growth. And there is just a very large amount of antibiotics being dumped into the environment. And so that seems like a very likely source as a primary source for antibiotic resistance evolving. And so we're starting to investigate how resistant things are out in the environment outside of the hospital.
That sounds really exciting.
Thank you.
And any other long-term projects that are on your plate?
We are also trying to find ways of reversing the evolution of antibiotic resistance that can be used in a hospital or maybe outside in the larger community if different parties are willing to coordinate. And so we've kind of shown in the lab that we can reverse evolution if we have known resistance genes and we know exactly what's going on. We can come up with these probabilistic measures of how likely we are to reverse antibiotic resistance if we use certain drugs in a certain sequence. But it really varies depending on what antibiotic resistance genes are present. And so what we want to do is measure using our new fitness assays and the improved statistics for them. We want to measure the fitness of many different strains with many different resistance genotypes and come up with these probabilistic ways of optimizing the use of antibiotics and then look for overlap between them. And hopefully we find patterns of antibiotic consumption that decrease resistance for many different antibiotic resistance genes.
Great. Well, it sounds really interesting. Dr. Miriam Barlow, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.